It's the Man Under Construction podcast. Thank you so much for stopping by once again. I know it's been a little while, but I'm here behind the mic. I've shared on my page that I've been a little busy with work. It's been a little overwhelming. I'm not complaining about it. I'm blessed to have a job. My time has been really, really spread thin, and I've been trying to balance my work and life and spending time with the family and also pay attention to Man Under Construction. But it has gotten a little bit better, and I'm here once again. And today, before we jump into the episode, I want to thank God for the strength He gives me every day to keep forging forward, to keep striving for more, to be that man that my family needs and my daughter, and to be that father my daughter needs, and to be the man that I need to be in the place where I find myself here on this journey. And I want to thank my lovely wife, who continues to stand by my side through all this journey, continues to support Man Under Construction. I love her so much, and I thank her. I thank her actually on every podcast. She actually listens, so I want to give her a special thank you for her support and love through all this process. So Quentin Hafner has joined me the past couple of episodes, and we've been breaking down each chapter of Black Belt Husband. And today we're going to jump into chapter 3, which is going to be about being consistent. We've been talking about self-awareness and being humble enough to admit our weaknesses, but we are here and we're going to talk about consistency and being on top of our game each and every day. So I hope you enjoy the episode, and we'll jump right in. Welcome back, everyone, to the Man Under Construction podcast. I'm here with Quentin Hafner, who has joined me the previous couple of podcasts, and we're doing this project together, and we're breaking down each chapter of the book he authored, Black Belt Husband. The first episode was about self-awareness and how important it is, and then we jumped into humility, and today we're gonna be talking about showing up and doing the work, being consistent, and being on day in and day out. Quentin Hafner, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Michael. Glad to hang out with you. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, sir. It's always a privilege, and I'm just extremely humbled to be able to talk to you. And you're like I said, I read your book. I reached out to you, and I'm totally humbled by this opportunity to be able to work with you. So you want to tell us a little bit about chapter 1 and chapter 2 before we jump into being consistent, which is chapter 3.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so the way the structure of the book is, it's the jiu-jitsu kind of belt structure. So the first 3 chapters of the book are kind of all white belt chapters. So the very starting place is self-awareness, chapter 1, chapter 2, humility, and chapter 3, consistency. And those are really transferable to Brazilian jiu-jitsu. In the early stages of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you got to have a lot of self-awareness, a lot of humility, and a lot of consistency in order to kind of move forward. So as it relates to marriage, self-awareness is this idea of really kind of understanding ourselves, really knowing ourselves well, having a lot of introspection, insight into ourselves. So we kind of don't step on our own feet in marriage. It's kind of knowing the good things about us, the not so great things about us. It's knowing what our assets are and what our liabilities are from a relationship standpoint. And that's kind of like the foundational piece of the entire kind of relationship journey. In marriage is really this idea of knowing ourselves. And then, so chapter 2, we talked about the need for humility, because in the sense that we discover things about ourselves that we may not like about ourselves, we have to have a humble spirit where we can say, hey, you know what? I know that, you know, I'm not so great in these areas. And I know that I'm not going to be defensive about that. I'm not going to fight you on that. I'm going to work on that. That's that sense of humility.
Yeah.
And then, today we're going to talk about consistency, and it's really just this idea of needing to be active in our marriage, and not active in the sense of like a physical fitness sense, but active in really just showing up consistently in the relationship. And what does that look like to be successful?
And I've read this book, I've gone through it, and I'm rereading it, to be able to work on this project together with you, Quentin. And I've gone through the steps and the self-awareness, asking those questions, how important that is. Like you said, it's the foundation. It's crucial that we start there, because if we don't know the why, then we won't know what to do. We won't know what to attack, what to work on. But then, like you said, chapter two, the next step, humility, you recognize these things and you're humble enough to admit that you have some weaknesses and you have some shortcomings that you need to work on. And today, this is a good one. This is where I feel, and I was thinking about this right before we started doing the podcast, that consistency is the part where a lot of men just flop out. They get excited, they start doing the work, they get this emotional high, they feel like they're gonna do it, but life starts to happen, work starts to happen, and the consistency, you know, I'll skip one day. You know, I won't work on it one day, and then it becomes 2 days and then 3 days. And by the time everything falls off and you're right back where you started. So today is about consistency. Today is about being on and attacking it each and every day. And that's just the way we got to do this. That's the only way that it's going to work, that we do it day in and day out. We've tried it before the old way and it doesn't work. It's time to try it a new way and go at it each and every day.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, you know, because if anybody listening to this, we could look at really any area of our life, from our physical health to our occupational success, to our educational pursuits, to hobbies, if you're into golf, or I use jiu-jitsu as this example in the book, mm-hmm. but everything that we want to be good at in life requires a lot of effort. It requires a lot of intentionality. It requires us to be consistent and that we're showing up and that we're working and that we're practicing and we're trying and we're in this kind of like constant state of evolution. But so many guys don't do that in their relationships. And it's just kind of an interesting paradigm or like a mindset thing where a lot of guys, you know, they work really hard to get the girl, you know, mm-hmm. yeah. and we win the bride and she says yes, and we get married. Right. And usually in that process, guys are really consistent. They are working really hard. They are really showing up. And it's almost as if once we secure the prize, then we move into this really passive state. And that is kind of like the giant fork in the road for a lot of guys, you know, that will determine the success of their relationship, is that fork in the road right there. Am I going to see relationships and marriage as me needing to be in an active state, or is this kind of a more passive endeavor? And a lot of guys treat it passively.
Yeah. And that's something that we'll get to later on this episode about passivity, which is a big, big topic that we need to discuss. What I'm reminded of, and I think I read this in one of John Eldridge's book, Wild mm-hmm. at Heart, I think, that a woman does not want to be the journey. She wants to go on the journey with you. And that ties into what we're talking about, that she doesn't want to be the grand prize. And then once you get to the summit, it's over. She wants to go to the summit with you and, you know, go through what do they call it on Everest? I forgot. There's different levels and they call it different things. I totally forgot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
But in other words, she wants to be part of the journey. She doesn't want to be the journey, or she doesn't want to be the prize. She wants to achieve the prize with you, so to speak. And that's the and you're right, 100% right, that a lot of guys, they work so hard. I think with us guys, when sex is involved, we work really hard. We are motivated to get that prize. And then once we get it, we tend to fall out. Or it turns out that it wasn't all we expected it to be, because sex is a lot more than just the act. It's a lot deeper than that. But I digress. That's a totally different subject than today.
No, but I think there's an important point in that. And it's kind of like what drives us, you know, and what motivates us. So if we're trying to, you know, get the girl to have sex with us, there's a strong motivation. And so that motivation compels us to kind of show up and to work and to kind of, you know, do those things. And then, so we have to ask ourselves, you know, what is that strong motivation that's going to keep us kind of moving and being consistent and showing up? And I think we need to have answers to that question. Like, what is the driver for that?
While we're talking about this, being motivated and being consistent, I'm reminded about a lot with Jocko Willink's material that he talks about, that emotion and motivation don't get the job done. It's discipline. It's showing up day in and day out. And that's how he lives his life. That's how he talks about this material. And it's true. We got to show up day in and day out, because motivation will fall out. Motivation, I wake up at 6 a.m. and I don't feel motivated to do anything. But if we're disciplined, that'll push us back past that temporary feeling of motivation or temporary feeling of weakness. It'll push us to show up, to do what we need to do. And what I wanted to ask, we're still early on this journey. We're on chapter 3. So we're talking about consistency. What does that look like early on in this journey? And I hope you understand the question. Like, for the typical guy out there, what does this stage in his marriage look like to be consistent day in and day out? What is he doing? What does he need to do? Is he practicing the prior steps of self-awareness and humility? You want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, like in a practical sense. Well, this is where I think we have to kind of, you know, understand that, what would work in my marriage is going to be different. That's going to work in your marriage. Okay. And so we want our wives to be our coaches in that sense. Okay. So it's like, hey, you coach me, you tell me what you want. You tell me what you're looking for, what it is that you want. Like, I could, you know, my wife hates flowers. Okay. And your wife might love flowers, right? So if being consistent meant, that's why I don't want to be prescriptive and say, okay, we got to do this and this and this and, you know, buy your wife flowers, because I can buy my wife flowers and she could care less. It doesn't mean anything to her. Okay. So we want to let our wives coach us in that sense. And we want to learn from them what it is that they're really yearning for to make the relationship feel better for them. You know, maybe it's more quality time spent with them. Maybe it's turning off our phones when we're with them. Maybe it is something like flowers. Maybe it's planning date nights. Maybe it's, being dependable. And when we say we're going to be home at 5 o'clock, we actually show home. We actually get home at 4:55. You know, so our wives will communicate to us the areas that we need to be consistent in. And then that's why we got to go back to the humility thing for a second too, because if we're not humble enough to receive those messages, we're going to dismiss it all. Okay. But ultimately our wives can be the influencer of us, and they can coach us, and they're going to tell us, you know, if something's not working for them. Anybody listening to this knows that most wives don't have a problem letting us know when things aren't working for them. Okay. So we want to be receptive to that stuff. We want to be receptive to that stuff. And, one of the things my wife said to me recently, she said, you know, she was like, you know, she's like, she goes, sometimes we go a whole week and we only have dinner together as a family one night of the week. So she was complaining to me that she wanted to have dinner as a family more often. So I heard that message. I took it in. I said, okay. And so now I'm kind of making adjustments to my schedule so I can be home more frequently. So that's an example. I'm just using it as an example of that would be me being consistent and showing up in the marriage in the way that I need to.
And the reason why I ask that is because a lot of guys, we are goal oriented. We like to see the things listed one by one. So a lot of guys are going to approach this, or actually approach marriage, like, what do I need to do? Just tell me to do this, this, and this, and then we're good. I'll use a personal example, and my wife does listen to a podcast, and she'll say different things or comment. So I will say, when we clean, I help her clean the house, and we need to clean. I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
I told her that I need to know what we're doing, and that's almost built in us by design. Tell me what to do, you know. If I want to be consistent, tell me what to do. But in this area, in the area of relationships and marriage, we have to take a different approach, just like Quentin just explained. We have to listen. We have to be able to be humble enough to understand what our wife is trying to tell us and be in that place where we're able to receive it. That falls way back to chapter one, doing that self-awareness and knowing where you're coming from and being humble. And then, as you can see, we're starting to build on something greater from chapter one. So I wanted to, that's why I asked that question, because I do get a lot of guys that shoot me a DM regarding a post or different content that I share. And they ask me, well, what do I do? And it's different for every guy.
It really is. And that's why it would be a great disservice to be prescriptive about it and say, okay, well, here's the 10 things that you just got to do, right? Because what will happen if you do that, the reason that's the wrong approach is that if you are being consistent in the areas that don't really matter to your wife, then you're going to feel you're going to feel like you're failing. And you're going to feel, after a while, you're going to be like, you know what? I'm doing all this stuff. And I did the 10 things that those two guys said on the podcast, and it doesn't really resonate with her. And you're going to feel like a failure. And if you feel like a failure long enough, then you're going to give up. And we don't want you to give up. Okay. So we don't want a prescriptive plan. It's not that, if it was that simple, that'd be great. We could offer it, but it's really, think about your wife as the coach, think about her complaints and the things that she's unhappy about or frustrated about. That is your prescriptive plan. We just want to be in tune and in touch with that and listen and really take that stuff to heart and say, okay, I got you. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. You keep complaining about me being on my cell phone. What am I going to do about that?
Now, okay. Before the podcast, I was talking about that. There's two topics that I always run into issues with, not issues, but almost like a resistance to the guys out there that I bring this content. And one of the biggest ones is in regards to marriage and how a marriage operates. And So I guess what I'm trying to get to, is how, what are some insights or some tips for some guys that aren't really there yet to be able to listen and be receptive to what the wife is telling them? It's just go back to chapter one and start all over.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of guys like that. They come into my office all the time, you know, and, you know, if we take a step back and we think about what drives a lot of human behavior, it's really two things. In a sense, we are kind of like simple animals in this way. the introduction of rewards or the introduction of pain is what drives a lot of human behavior. Okay. So if we aren't consistent enough and we aren't picking up the cues that our wives are telling us, and we're not paying attention to the things that they're complaining about, and we're dismissing that, then eventually it's simply just a matter of time. The relationship's going to erode. Okay. Cause she's going to feel unheard. She's going to feel dismissed. She's going to feel unsafe. Yeah. She's going to feel uncared for. And then it's a guarantee that the relationship will dissolve. And by the way, you can stay married to somebody in a totally dissolved marriage. Okay. You can be technically married and have no semblance of a relationship. There's lots of people out there that do that. Okay. But from a relational standpoint, the relationship's going to dissolve. Okay. The other side is the reward side. And this is what I try to explain to guys all the time. if I'm really consistent, okay, so here, I'll go back to that example of like me showing up for dinner, okay?
Yeah.
If I blow my wife off and I say, well, that's not really that big of a deal and I need to work late and you need to get over it. If I take that approach, what's going to happen is she is going to experience more pain, okay? She's going to experience more frustration. She is going to feel this sense like I don't care about her. And if I'm married to somebody that feels that way, do you think she's going to show up with me in the way that I need to, that I need from her? Do you think she's going to be kind, submissive, generous, loving? Do you think she's going to want to have sex with me? None of that stuff's true, right? She's going to be a horrible person to be married to. Okay. So this is the motivation. If I am consistent in honoring what my wife needs, it becomes a reciprocal process and she will honor what I need. And that's really relationships working at their best, is that it has lots of mutuality and lots of reciprocity. So if I'm consistent and I say, hey, I hear you. I know what you want. I got you. I know what you're looking for. I'm going to help you with that. And then I go to her one day and I say, hey, you know, like, I wish our sex life was a little bit more frequent or a little bit more robust. She's going to be much more likely to be responsive to me in that way because I've been responsive to her. Do you kind of see how it works? It's this kind of like, it's a cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. She feeds off of the energy that you put out.
Exactly. So there's two cycles that we can create in a relationship. We can create a negative cycle or we can create a positive cycle. There is no middle ground cycle. It's just a negative cycle and a positive cycle.
And it's funny that you should, that we're talking about this now. Because I promote your stuff a lot on my page and I talk about it quite often. And one of the guys shoots me a DM. He goes, oh yeah, that's great. But what about Black Belt Wife? I was like, you're already asking the wrong question.
You're asking the wrong question. Yeah.
You're already by that. By saying that, you're already in the wrong mindset. You're asking the wrong questions, and it's not going to work because you're already expecting something that you're not willing to put out.
Exactly. The focus is outward instead of inward. Mm-hmm. The focus is, how can I get my wife to change instead of what do I need to do to change? That's exactly right.
And it's funny because I get this quite often, and I'll just turn it around. You're asking the wrong question. And they'll be like, well, what are you talking about? Why don't you work on yourself first? Well, it's because she's this and she's that. You're still asking. That's the wrong mindset. You're still asking the wrong question. And usually after that, I don't hear from them again. So that's that's typically how it works.
Hey, this is, I was having lunch with a friend yesterday and we were talking about this kind of work. And this is what I told him. I said, this is my philosophy on all that stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
If you show me, okay. So let's say Michael, let's say you're saying, oh man, I'm in this really bad marriage. And what about her? And doesn't she need to read a book called Black Belt Wife? And you know, this is messed up. This is what I'll say to someone like you. I'll say, hey, Michael, here's the deal. You show me the best version of you being a husband. And if your marriage is still really messed up, let's have the conversation about what to do then. Okay. But don't even talk to me about it until you show me the best version of you. That's my philosophy on it.
Man, that hits close to home. That hits deep. Well, I mean, it hits deep because if we're honest, And in that place, like you were just asking me if I was coming to you with that question, if we're honest, we would say no, guaranteed.
We got work to do, don't we?
Yeah, we got a lot of work.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And you know, when you pose people that kind of idea, that's the ultimate kind of like, that's the ultimate, you know, hurdle to jump.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, you know, and that's hard. Right. And this is not to say that I don't have a ton of empathy and compassion that many people are in really bad marriages and it feels really bad. I am so sensitive to that. Okay. I'm not insensitive to that. I really do. I get it. I'm a couples therapist. I work with marriages all the time. I completely understand that. but the principle still holds true. Okay. If, because the, and the reason that's such an important thing is because what people often don't understand is that if you change what, like, see, relationships are a system. Okay. And if you change one part in the system, the entire system naturally has to change. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's actually a really empowering message. And the empowerment in that message is to say, well, if I just changed my part of the system has to change. And typically the system changes for the better. Now, there are exceptions to that where, you know, guys do all this work and they really do become the best versions of themselves and the relationship still is not functioning. That's a totally different conversation. Okay. But 99.9% of the time, we got work to do and we shouldn't even be thinking about what our wife's doing.
Yeah. And those relationships, those, and I think it's a very small minority. It's not a very big, like, generally speaking, if you work on yourself, things will start to change and it'll inspire your spouse to want to do things differently. That's majority of couples, but that's where consistency comes in.
That's just the way relationships work. You know, I mean, think about it like this, even just with a simple exchange with you and I. So I come on this Zoom call with you and I got a big smile and I say, "Hey, Michael, how's it going, man?" Right?
Yeah. You're trying to make me smile, right?
You can't help, but you're gonna feel friendly towards me. You can't help it.
Yeah.
You cannot help it because that's the way that we're wired. It's in our DNA. But if I come on here and I'm just like sulking and yeah, what's up? You know, you're gonna be like, "Is everything okay? What's going on? He seems like he's in a bad mood," right? And you're gonna start to feel a little insecure or even a little defensive, right? And that's the way relationships go. You know, so if we are showing up in our relationship as the best versions of ourselves, it's very likely that we're going to get a response from her that's going to work for us. And this goes back to what you were saying earlier, like these guys asking you, you know, "Why should I do this?" Well, you should do it because you're the big winner. You're going to be the big beneficiary. So if you want to do it, that's do it for true. Selfish reasons. Do it because you're selfish. Right?
Because you want a better relationship. You want better action in the bed.
Exactly. You want to be happier. You want her to nag you less. You know, you want her to give you more freedom. You want to have more sex with her. Those are all great reasons. Do it for that reason.
But and it's interesting that you should say that. Even a lot of guys out there, even me, before I started on this journey, even with all those benefits, we still struggle to look inwardly and address those issues. We still struggle to try to work on ourselves and be the best version of ourselves. That that is an area and that we struggle with a lot. And going back to what I told you about, men clamor and cheer for the warrior. When I, especially like I was telling you before, the content that I share, you know, conquering the day, owning life. You know, the guys are there and commenting, "Heck yeah, you know, this, yeah, that's what I'm talking about."
Yeah.
And then I go into, you know, "Treat your wife with respect. And after all, she is your queen." "Oh, you simp, you beta male." I was like, whoa. I was like, "Whoa, my man, where were you yesterday?" So, it's weird, especially with marriage. And the stuff that we're talking about, you know, being consistent and constantly showing up, being self-aware, being humble, it's really difficult for guys out there.
It's really difficult. It's really difficult. And, you know, I was just thinking about the using the book, you know, as the metaphor, using jiu-jitsu as the metaphor for marriage again, because, and I talk about it a little bit in the book, you know, it's like, I think about some of the high level jiu-jitsu guys that I know and that I've worked with. And, you know, and these guys are legit, you know, masters of their craft. Okay. And they are the most consistent guys coming in training, learning, asking questions. And if anybody doesn't need to do it, they don't need to do it because they got it. They legitimately have it figured out, but they know that they don't have it figured out. And they're always curious, always asking questions, always learning, you know, and if, and, you know, this is really the art of being a, what I call a multidimensional man. This is the title of the book that I'm working on.
Oh, wow. Very nice. Okay. I use that term sometimes.
Oh, you do. Yeah. It's a great term. Okay. Cause it's kind of like to be a well-rounded and healthy male, we got to have alpha qualities and we got to have beta qualities. We have to know when to be strong and dominant and when to be sensitive and empathetic and caring, right? Because you can be alpha and go seize the day and dominant, and you know, I'm a red pill guy. And this is what I'll promise you is that you'll spend the rest of your life in a very lonely world, because those are not gonna be relational assets if that's all you have. You're kind of a one-trick pony. So it might work to get the girl, right? Because a lot of that philosophy works with attraction stuff. But as far as sustainability and what's required to sustain relationships, we have to be more comprehensive than that. We have to be more well-rounded than that. And a lot of guys, they're just learning. They haven't figured that part out. And I'm not saying that like from a, I've figured it all out kind of sense. Yeah. I'm just saying there's a maturing process where people do figure that out.
And that's a great analogy or not analogy, but just a great explanation of how that alpha and conquering gets you the girl. But then from there, you have to switch into something different, a multidimensional man. You have to be able to have different skills. Because the arena is different. The battlefield is different. Not necessarily that I'm trying to speak in guy terms here.
No, you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
We have to go and to stay within the analogy, like we fight to get the girl with certain amount of tools. And then the battle changes, or the arena changes, the situation changes, and we have to be able to switch weapons. Because we can't always be conquering. It's already been conquered. Now we have to sustain it.
Yes.
And that's
it requires 100%. A different skill set.
Mm-hmm. And I have your book up here. And before we go further, it says a lot of times we become unmotivated, lazy, and too passive, and take our partners for granted. And I was going to pick your brain a little bit. What are some of the things that cause that kind of, like for guys, what are some little things that cause men to trip up in that way, to become unmotivated or just passive? Or is that the mentality that, oh, I already got her, I don't have to try anymore?
I think this is just a human nature thing. You know, I think it's kind of like one of the fundamental flaws of our kind of sinful nature or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. You pick any topic.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
And we take things for granted. We take our health for granted. We take our relationships for granted. We take our kids for granted. We take our jobs for granted. We take things for granted. That's just one thing that we know about us, right? We don't really appreciate things until they're gone.
And that is so true. We take it for granted until it's at risk. We're at risk of losing it. And we've talked about this before, that I think we talked about it in episode one or chapter one, that we really don't do anything until it's on the edge of collapse or it's too late, one or the other. And you're right, it is human nature to settle. That's why we got to fight ourselves each and every day. We got to fight to be consistent. We got to push ourselves to show up each and every day. Marriage is not a walk in the park or a bed of roses. It's work, and it takes work.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it's, and if I think the more, I was just going to say that I think that, you know, it is our human nature to take things for granted. Okay. And at the same time, there's wisdom in not taking things for granted. So it's not like we just have to take things for granted and learn lessons the hard way. No, there's a maturing process that happens through our lives where we don't take things for granted. We don't take our health for granted. We don't neglect our bodies. We don't take our jobs for granted. We appreciate the work that we have and we're thankful for it. We don't take our relationship. So, and that's really what I'm writing a lot about in consistency is that, you know, the black belt husband, okay. Remember we talked about in like the first couple, we're talking about, you know, if you want to be like in that 5% category, you know, the top 5%, this is what you do. You don't take your relationship for granted, because that's what 95% of guys out there do. They just have kind of an automatic assumption that their wife is going to be there meeting their needs. And if we treat it that way, it's likely that it's not going to end up that way.
And with consistency, and in your book, you wrote some great things or examples that we could use. Would you like to go through some of those examples?
Sure.
To question ourselves, for the guys out there, to question that or ask themselves if they're being consistent in different areas. Like what the first
you
want, one?
You, yeah, go ahead, Michael. What were you going to say?
Yeah, well, I know you were looking for it, but the first one is being civil with your partner, even when you're angry, or even when she's angry. And this is something that I can relate to. And Man Under Construction is about me being transparent and honest. And I've bombed this part. I have lost my cool. I have not been civil. I've been cutting with my words. I've been just horrible with my attitude when I'm angry. And then when she's angry, even worse. And it's just, I haven't been consistent. Well, this was prior. I mean, obviously we still have little spats as anybody does, but I've gotten a lot better ever since I've been on this journey. And that's an area that I am certain that I'm not the only one who struggles with that.
Nope, you're not. Yeah, it's something I struggle with too. It's something that everyone I know has a hard time with. Guys, most guys tend to struggle in that area. I think there's really good reasons for it. We won't get into that now, but
go ahead. No, that was just one of the...
You go, Mike. Yeah.
That was just one of the questions. Actually, that's all I was going to say. That was the first one, but it really struck a chord with me, because it's really it's something that I can relate to, and I'm sure a lot of guys out there can relate to. And being civil. Let me talk about
the second one for a second, because the second one is really applicable too.
Okay.
And that's this, you know, taking an interest in her day, even when you have a lot on your mind, or when she's not taking an interest in your day. That is a big one for guys too. You imagine you work a really long day, you come home, you're tired, right? The last thing you want to do is have some depth conversation with her. You just want to tune out, right?
Yeah.
But she's craving that connection. She's craving that sense of that sense of relational intimacy with you. So you know, there's the fork in the road, right? So the consistent husband sees that as a need that she has and says, you know what? I'm gonna stop at Starbucks on the way home and slam a coffee so I got a little bit of energy so I can engage with her, even though I don't want to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I tell my clients that all the time. I say, you know what? I say, half the time my wife wants to talk to me, I don't want to talk to her. No, I just want to like zone out. I don't want to talk to her. But I stay engaged because I know she needs that. I don't need that. It's what she needs. And I give that to her. And that's an example of being consistent. And when I don't give that to her, we get stuck in that negative cycle.
And it goes back to the first one. She gets angry, and then she lets you know that she's upset, and then we get angry, and the cycle continues again. And
the cycle continues.
I've been down that road. Another one is this is one that I've really honed in, and really I've gone above and beyond, because I know my wife likes it, and I know she appreciates it, and good things happen for me. We'll just leave it at that. Helping around the house, because that is important to her. Obviously, a woman's her home is the way she decorates it, the time she puts in it is very valuable to her. I saw that you added a note there, even if you feel like it's not your job.
Because like, a lot of guys feel like it's not their job.
Yeah, you know, and I still go cut the grass and go out there, weed eat and you know, make the lawn good. But I also, you know, after all, we are the stronger species. We are the alpha. And this is what I tell guys, you know, if you consider yourself an alpha and you're the leader, then lead.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Don't just say you're a leader, lead, you know, take the lead and do stuff around the house. That's leading in a certain capacity. So, I wash the dishes and I'm not afraid to pick up a broom and sweep around the house and help her out. But that's a big one, being consistent in that area.
Yeah, it's a great example. It's a great example because I know that there's people listening right now that are kind of bristling. They're bristling at that. They're like, fuck that. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. And, you know, that's an ego thing. Okay. That's an ego thing because they feel, you know, maybe they're above that. They feel that, like it's not their job, that they're entitled to kind of take a back seat to that. But I'm reminded of something that, there was a famous marital researcher. His name is John Gottman. He wrote a ton of books. And he talked about, one of the things that he talked about a lot was how foreplay began with the husband washing dishes.
Yeah.
You know, when we think about foreplay, guys think about it in like a sexual context. Okay, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We're going to be in the bed together. And it's like for the woman, foreplay starts so much earlier.
Yeah, I've heard that like, even starts like a day before.
Yes, it's how you spoke to her. It's how you treated her. And she saw you washing the dishes when you didn't have to. That gets her libido going because she experiences you as being a safe person.
But also that this is something that you also wrote in this chapter. It makes her, it lets her know that she's important.
Yes. And when she knows that she's important, that's a safety issue. She feels safe. She's like, oh my gosh. I am safe in the arms of this person. He really does care about me. See, women have this nagging question in their mind that plays like a tape. And the question is, do I really matter? Am I really important? And they look for things to happen in the relationship to either say, no, you're not important at all, and he doesn't give a shit about you, or you are so important. Look at what's going on right over here. And that's the fork in the road for a lot of guys. So the consistency is kind of how do we do things to communicate to her? For your wife, it's sweeping around the house, helping out, doing dishes, doing housework. That communicates something to her. For my wife, it's dedicating time to engage her in conversation, to talk with her, to nurture her through conversation. And every wife is a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incumbent upon us to find out what that little thing is, because exactly. Obviously not everyone's the same.
Yes, yes. But if we pay attention, you know, that's why conflict is actually a really great thing, because if we see conflict as a learning tool and as a signpost that will point us, because every time there's conflict, it's because there's a need not getting met. That's the reason for all conflict. And so if she's mad about something and you're in a conflictual state, see it as a good thing. Be like, okay, great. This is a great thing to learn right here. What can I learn from this? Oh, there's a need not being met. Okay, what is it that she needs? What can I do? And you know, you mentioned the word leadership. I mean, this is leadership at its finest, right? It's easier to lead somebody that feels like a slave or feels like a subservient person, but you know, complex leadership, that's never the case. Complex leadership is like you as the leader have to win the people over so they trust you to lead. That's real leadership. And that's kind of what this consistent theme is all about too, is like, I'm going to win my wife over so she lets me lead and she's happily letting me lead.
That is one thing that we are dropping nuggets here. Like this is, and I know a lot of guys aren't going to want to hear this, but this is very, really important stuff. This is critical stuff that will potentially launch your marriage in the right direction and prepare you for the following chapters and the next steps and to being that black belt husband. This is really great stuff. And even though I've read the book and I continue to do the work, even talking about it now really reinforces those little things. And it inspires me to be that top tier guy. So this is great stuff for you guys out there. And I hope that you don't brush it off simply because we're talking about relationships or marriage, but that you take it to heart and apply it. Because that's why we're doing this. We want you guys to be that top tier guy. So another one is not being this, and it's something that I can relate to as well. It's not to be defensive when she asks something of you or challenges you. And I err on this. Well, I lean on the side of challenges because it's it's understandable, but when we challenge each other as men, we like it. We're playing basketball and we tell each other to step it up. You know, we play harder, but we change the dynamic and we're in the basketball court of marriage and your wife tells you to step it up or you know, play harder defense. And we reject it like nobody's business.
So true. So true. And you know, that's just a maturing process. That's something that we need to keep working on, where we, develop, strong sense of selves. That's the way I kind of describe that, strong sense of selves. So when that happens, it doesn't feel like an assault on our egos, oh my God, I can't believe she said that. We're like, okay, you know what? There's probably some merit in it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Right. She found out, she found out that I had this thing. Okay, great. She found out. She called me on it. Great. Okay. It's like, I'm working with this couple right now where, the truth is the husband has a drinking problem.
Yeah.
Okay. And when the wife wants to talk about it, it's like, oh, he's so offended. It's like, dude, why are you offended? You have a drinking problem. And the more you can just accept that and own that without it turning into like a bigger thing than it needs, because now it's not even about the drinking problem. Now it turns into this other thing. And the other thing is that we can't talk about things.
Well, it's strange. And let me relate it to my personal struggle with pornography. There's something we don't like to admit that there's something wrong with us. Like, and we've talked about we've talked about that. I think we talked about it on the previous episodes.
Yeah.
We fight it tooth and nail and we reject the idea that there's a problem with us. And it gets us into a lot of trouble.
Yeah. And, it really, if somebody hasn't listened to the prior conversation that you and I had, I encourage people to go back and check it out, because we talked about that towards the end. We talked about shame.
Yeah.
And how men are often, they get really stuck in their shame. And so when a wife confronts a guy or criticizes a guy or challenges a guy, it activates the shame. And the shame is that emotion that we feel when we feel like we're bad. And we don't want to feel bad. And so we will reject what they say as a way to not feel bad. But the problem in doing that is it doesn't leave any room for her to express what isn't working for her. And then there's not room for the relationship to evolve and make progress. So we got to really be thinking about that shame thing. We got to really be monitoring it and making sure that shame isn't becoming like the poison pill for our own marriage.
So some guys, and to and go down to the next one, something that stood out in your book. It says some guys are paralyzed by how to step up. And you want to share a couple of insights about that? Because I know that was the case for me before I started doing the work and really just owning a lot of my mess. Why is it that some guys get paralyzed on, and the way you wrote it is how to show up?
What happens in a lot of relationships is, this is a very common kind of relationship life cycle. The guy, we're dating, everything works good. We get married and then boom, we're married. And then the guy stops being consistent. And then the guy takes a passive role from a consistency standpoint in the marriage. And then what happens is it forces the wife into a dominant role where she is nagging, she's complaining, she's saying, hey, why'd you do this? And why'd you do that? And when we think about it, you know, it's because some of the stuff that we follow on Instagram and stuff, it's like, that's like the quintessential. He turns into kind of like a blue pill guy, you know, married to a really dominant woman. Okay.
Yeah.
And she becomes dominant. She complains. She criticizes. And then what ends up happening, he starts feeling so much shame that he just shuts down completely. Okay. And then he becomes paralyzed. He's like, I don't even know where to begin, because all I've experienced from you is all this criticism and all this complaint. And it just feels like I can't do anything right. Okay. That is kind of like the quintessential couple 2021 that goes awry. Okay. And it's actually why a lot of that red pill stuff has come on the scene, because it's a response to that kind of a relationship. And so there's some value in it. There's some merit in it. I totally understand why that has become more popular. Okay.
Yeah.
So what that guy needs to do is just start doing something, just start taking action. Right. It's like, sometimes we get so paralyzed at doing the wrong thing that we just don't do anything. Right. It's like, if I want to start a workout regimen, like if I got really overweight and I was really out of shape, this happens physically too. We just feel, you know what, what's the point in going to the gym? I'm 100 pounds overweight. It's going to take me years to lose all this weight. You know what? We kind of develop a fuck it mindset. And then we just say, you know what? Fuck it. It's not worth it. Okay. And then the problem just gets worse. Okay. So what we have to do is we have to first recognize that we're stuck in that pattern. Okay. And we just got to start initiating some things in the relationship. And that's why I say, go back to thinking about, what did you do when you were dating your wife? What did you do? You had this huge Rolodex of things that won her over, but you stopped doing all that. You know, you used to, you know, send her cute text messages. You used to be romantic. You used to dress nice. You used to organize dates. You used to do all these really great things, but you just don't do any of it anymore. So I would just say, go back to the drawing board of what you used to do when you were dating and just start doing that stuff again. And if you can initiate that kind of energy in the relationship, it's going to allow her to step out of that dominant role, because she doesn't want to be dominant. She doesn't want to be in that role. It's like, you've put her in that role.
And I think it's I'm going to go on out on a limb. I think that role feels unnatural to them. And this may step on the toes of a few feminists out there, but I think it a lot of women don't want to be there because it feels unnatural. Like, and they'll do it because no one else steps up to the plate, but it's not where they want to be. You know what? I'll say it like this. I can say with a fair amount of certainty that 95% of women that feel that they have to step up to a dominant role feel like they have to. If not, nothing will get done. They feel forced into it, not something that they want to be a part of.
Women gravitate towards that role in relationships because they don't feel safe. That's the bottom line. They don't feel like they can rest in the arms, metaphorically, of their person, of their man. They don't feel like their man is taking good care of them. and it forces them into a dominant position where they feel like they have to take care of themselves.
And I see, and that's very prevalent. And let's be honest with it. It's our fault, fellas. It's all our fault.
Guys don't want to hear that because that's a harder message, but it's an honest message. Okay. Because if your wife has become this dominant force in your life that you are intimidated by, or you feel anxious around, the question is, what is it about you that created that kind of an environment? Yeah, we could blame her and criticize her and say, oh, you know, you're a feminist, and we could do that. But at the end of the day, that's not going to change anything. The only thing that's going to change is to change yourself and to look inward and say, how did I create this? How can I undo it? And you can undo it. It starts with some of the stuff that we're talking about here, being consistent, really just showing up, taking a true leadership role in your marriage, not just some idea. Like a lot of guys will tell me, they're like, I want to be a leader in my marriage, right? And it's like, well, what do you don't act like a leader. You're passive and you're anxious and you're scared to make decisions. And that's not leadership.
Well, I guess I would pose this question. For the guys that say, yeah, I want to be a leader in my life and marriage, I think I would ask them, well, what does that look like to you? What does you being a leader look like? And
right.
I think right. A lot of them won't have an answer for that. Aside from the, I want her to do what I say, or
I want her to be passive and submissive.
And that's actually a deeper question. Well, what does leadership look like to you? Mm-hmm. I think that is the deeper question we need to ask, because mm-hmm. a lot of people, and that's what, and I shared a post I wrote that I have abandoned the quest for the mythical alpha and I'm chasing after the best version of myself.
Yeah, I remember I saw that. Yeah, I love it.
And I think being a leader has been this mythical, like a Greek god, like a mythic god, like, oh, I want to be a leader with this great power, grandeur, and all this stuff. I want to be the alpha. What does that even mean? Do you want, like, if you want to be an alpha, are you going to go hunt bison and have food for the winter? Like, what does, mm-hmm. like, it's become this mythical creature that we want to aspire mm-hmm. to, but we have no idea what it means.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like this, it's kind of like become this kind of glorious, like, superhero fantasy. I'm going to be this alpha.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to be able to rule and lead and dominate, and people aren't going to question me, and, you know, my wife's going to, you know, give me blowjobs whenever I ask. And it's like, I'm just telling you, it's a dream. It's a fantasy.
Yeah.
It's a fantasy.
And you know what? That's what porn does. And that's why a lot of guys are addicted to that, because it feeds into that quote, end quote, alpha fantasy, domineering women submit to everything you do. It feeds that fantasy.
Yes. Well, I don't know if you wanted to go, you probably didn't want to go here, but I'm just going to bring it up anyway, because when we use the word submit, I can't help but think about it in a biblical context, because it's kind of like, you know, there's verses in the Bible where it says wives submit to your husband. Okay. And so a lot of guys have kind of grabbed onto that verse, you know, they're like, hey, you know, the Bible says you should submit. And this is not, by the way, anybody listen, this is not a religious narrative. Okay. It's culturally prevalent because we still live in a Judeo-Christian culture. So it says, wives, submit to your husbands. Okay. And it's like, there's a follow-up verse after that about what the Bible says that guys need to do for their wives.
And you need to keep reading.
Basically, yeah. It's like, basically what it says that you need to die for her. Like, you need to hang yourself on a cross for her, you know?
Yeah.
It's, and it's powerful because it's saying, okay, if she submits to you, are you willing to go to these extremes for her? It's not a one-way street. It's not like she just submits to you and you stay in this, you know, this role of like, I'm King Conqueror. No, it's like she submits to you and you die to her. You die to yourself. You die to her. That's really powerful. Guys don't want that second part of them.
Yeah. Yeah. See, they selectively edit verses in the Bible for that purpose. Man. Yeah. That's
it. Like, I just like the first part. I don't want to read the second part.
Yeah. Cherry pick. We cherry pick the things we like. And in that area, I mean, in biblical terms or in the Bible, excuse me, there's a lot, it does say, yes, women listen to the leader, but there's also just as much where it addresses the man. The women submit to your husband, but also the man is to be submitted to God. So there's always a this for the, it's not just this, there's this, and then there's something that connects to something higher. And that reflects in reality too, not just in a biblical sense, but it reflects in, or it connects to our marriage. It applies to our marriage is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It applies to everything, relationships, friendships. It's not just a one way street,
right? And you know, we're talking about, you know, this alpha concept and kind of what does that mean in pop culture, the red pill stuff. And I'm glad that we're talking about it because it's really associated with this concept of consistency and showing up in your marriage and doing the hard things and doing things you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And if you have that mindset, it's going to be really difficult to do that.
But what's funny is in this manosphere, in this alpha community, they do talk about doing the work, do the work, show up every day, but it's only show up to the things that you want to show up. Yeah. Show up, you know, work in the gym, grinding every day, boom, boom, you know, just doing these things, these selfish.
Get your hustle on.
Yeah. Actually, it's be consistent in self-gratification, in instant gratification. Be consistent in doing things for yourself. And it does, and it had, actually, we're going a little deeper. It never talks about being consistent in other areas of your life.
Yeah. You know, each person's of course entitled to live their own life. I'm not the arbiter of that or the judge of that. And if that's the life that you want to live and that works for you, more power to you. I would give you the biggest high five if that works for you. As a therapist, what I know is that is a chronically lonely life, because what's missing in that kind of setup is a true sense of relational intimacy with another human being. And if we don't have that relational intimacy with another human being, the consequential emotional fallout of that is to experience a real deep sense of loneliness. So if it works, great. In my experience, I've never seen it work truly in a real kind of rigid way. So, you know, 'cause I think at our core, we are, complete pack animals, massively social creatures, and we need relationships to really live thriving lives.
Right here, you wrote down that complacency is a marriage death sentence, and that's a big one. Complacency, passivity, being okay with mediocrity, that's a big one. Before we go into this and before we tackle this, I think society or the culture that we live in has made it okay to be mediocre. It has elevated mediocrity for the sake of not offending people or for the sake of equality or equity or equality, I should say, not equity, but for the sake of like I said, not for the sake of not offending anybody, they've made it okay to be complacent. Don't work on yourself. You're okay just the way you are. Kind of like with this body shaming, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like
body yeah. positivity.
Yeah, body positivity. Yeah. And yes, you know, do love yourself, but also love yourself too enough to understand that certain things are not good. Mm-hmm. And I'm not specifically saying talking about body positivity or whatnot, but I'm just putting it under the umbrella that we're making everything okay. You don't have no need to improve. You are perfect the way you are. We're feeding this lie. Really, it's a lie. Right. You're not okay the way you are. No one is okay the way they are. We are all imperfect individuals, and we all need to work on certain areas in our life. And I think it's just they've made it popular to be complacent. Mm-hmm. Why bother working on ourselves? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to segue into how complacency rots our marriage relationship.
Well, and it's a really good point, because I think if you're struggling in your marriage, you might go to an individual counselor or a therapist, and they might say, oh, you know, you poor thing, this sounds really bad. You know, they're not going to have the conversation that you and I are. They're not going to flip it back and say, well, what's your contribution to this? No way. So we get a lot of that, like, reinforcement from culture, even therapists, pastors, whoever we might go to talk about stuff. Friends, right? Friends are the worst, right? Very few people have high quality friends in their life that are going to confront them. And, you know, if I go to my friends and I start, you know, bitching about my wife or saying this, I want guys in my life that are going to confront me. Not just validate me.
They'll tell you, dude, you suck.
Yeah, it's like, what's your problem? Why are you doing that? So, but that's kind of my value system. That's kind of, you know, what matters to me. And that I was going to say something about what part of the book too, because I write in there that, you know, most complacent husbands do love their wives. They care about their wives. They love their wives. But they just don't understand. They have a misunderstanding. They don't really understand what it really takes to keep a marriage alive. That's the big difference. It's an understanding. It's a mindset. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I think about it from like a fighting sense. You know, like if anybody listening to this is like into kind of any kind of martial arts or fighting, anybody knows that no matter how angry you are, and how much rage you have, and you want to beat the shit out of somebody, it doesn't make you a good fighter. Okay. And that's kind of like marriage too, right? The feelings you might have, I love my wife. I like my marriage is so important to me. I hear that all the time. My marriage is so important to me.
Yeah.
That sentiment, that feeling, that doesn't make you a good husband. It's the actual practical applications, the skills that you have. Do you know how to show up? That's what makes you a good husband. That's a really big difference.
Yeah. And right here, I came across something you wrote. And if I can find it, I skimmed over it and I lost it. Okay. And this, and it's all, of course, part of being consistent. A lot of guys, and it leads into why we give up. A lot of guys have pigeonholed themselves, and mainly because of their example and society and culture, how times have changed, that they feel that their job as a husband is just to be a provider. So they don't bother with anything else. They don't bother to be to fulfill the needs of a spouse other than just providing for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man, that is a really big one. That's a big one. That's a very old paradigm that may have worked in the dark ages, but it has worked in a really long time, and it definitely doesn't work in 21. Women are expecting something more from us than us being financial partners. And if that's all we can bring to the most part, it's not going to work well. And by the way, as a man, it actually doesn't work for you either, because here's the big secret. relational and emotional needs too. And, you know, it's so like your wife has this need from you to connect and to have a relationship with you, but it's, you don't need that. No. You need it too. You've just suppressed that need and you've buried that need, but you have that need too. So it's a win for you to honor that need in yourself also, not just give it to your wife. This isn't just about giving it to her. This is something you need too.
And I like how you wrote this. Limiting our function as husbands to being financial providers will create a relationship of sterile cohabitants that over time resembles something more akin to a business partnership. You become, what do they call it? Roommates is what you end
roommates.
Up being.
Yeah, right. You stop having sex, you're having fun, you stop having meaningful conversations.
Yeah.
You stop dreaming together, you stop laughing together. And it's, and then, you know, you end up working more because you're now you're just trying to avoid her, which means that you probably end up making more money. And, you know, you just get stuck in this trap. I see it all the time.
Yeah. And but there's danger in there too, because if you're not getting fulfilled, or, and this can go both ways to the husband and wife, you start searching, because we need to fill that void. We start searching, and a lot of guys turn to porn, or they turn to
porn or have an affair.
Yeah, I was gonna go to that. And women, the same thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy at work pays a little attention to them, and they start getting that need that you don't feel at home. They start, and they think that, it's a shame that we actually, when we think of a guy, oh, he cheated on his wife. Oh, well, you know, it's expected, or she was probably nagging him. She was just a bad wife. But when a wife goes out on a husband, she's a whore, or she's saying?
There's a double standard. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a double standard.
Yeah.
And really if we move all that stuff, really, it's just two individuals, two humans looking for a need that's not being filled at home.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Without shame or judgment. And when we think about consistency in the way that we're talking about here, you know, this is the way to affair proof your marriage.
Yeah.
You know, if you're worried about your wife having an affair, it's like, man, if you really take these principles about consistency and showing up and positive action and dedication and reliability and all those things, your wife's not going to have an affair. Your wife will only have an affair if she feels neglected. And this is the opposite of neglect. This is like, I'm going to treat you like I did when we were dating. You know, girls are not cheating on their, I mean, of course that happens. I shouldn't say that. But if a girl is, if the relationship is going well, people aren't having affairs during that period, right? Because everybody's on their best behavior and really engaged and attentive to the relationship.
Yeah.
And then we get married and we take our foot off the gas and we go into this like sleepy cruise control. We're asleep at the wheel, you know, the car runs off the road, you know, and that's the affair.
Yeah.
We're asleep at the wheel.
Exactly. And there's no better analogy at that. We take the foot off the gas pedal and she'll find it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
She will find, and it might not be a physical affair, but it could be an emotional affair.
Yeah, which is sometimes even more painful.
Yeah,
because it's like she really cared about somebody. It's like, ouch.
Or the husband, you know, has that special friend that he can talk to, and that's actually a different episode that we can that goes into a lot deeper stuff. But there's this little segment in the book that really, really just it's really profound. And it really applies to, especially with the content that I share. Living your values is authentic masculinity. And then there's a part that, like I was telling you, you know, I post about honor, integrity, being loyal, you know, having strength, resilient, fortitude. Mm-hmm. And this is the, and this is, and this happens with any Instagram or any social media page. We can proselytize all day about our, about values and integrity, but how does it actually show up in our relationship, in relationships, in real life? And if we ask ourselves honestly, as you wrote it here, are we just, are we living it out, or are we just virtue signaling? Mm. And that, when I read that, I was like, oh man, that hit, that hits hardcore. Cause I've been guilty.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We all have. Okay. And there's no judgment in this conversation. There's no judgment in the book. And I'd say in the book, you know, I am the biggest relationship failure that I've come across. Okay. And I still fail every day. The only difference between me and maybe a lot of other guys is that I know that.
Yeah.
And so I'm willing to do something about it. That's the only difference. Okay. And you know, what I was really trying to get at this with the consistency thing is that, like, when I work with a lot of guys, you know, I'll ask them, I'll say, hey, what's the most important thing in your life? 95% of the time they say my wife and kids. I'll say, okay, great.
Yeah.
Now, if I drew a pie chart, and let's take your kids out of it for a second. If I just drew a pie chart, how much headspace, physical time, emotional energy do you put into your wife? And if they're honest, it's going to be a tiny little sliver.
Man, that's some brutal honesty right there.
And it's true, right? And it's true for me sometimes too, right? And I'm not, so again, it's not a judgment. But that's what I'm saying. So we're not living up to our values. Cause if our values say the most important thing to me is my wife and my family and my kids, but we're not really living that way, then we have to ask ourselves some hard questions. If we only dedicate a little sliver of that pie chart to being a good husband, to being consistent, to showing up, to doing the work, if that's all we're doing, then we're not living our values. We're just virtue signaling. And we're saying to other people, I'm a family man. You know, it's like, well, you don't really act like it. You know, I'm sure you're a nice guy. I'm sure you're a good guy, but
yeah.
Let's just look at the pie chart, you know, and the numbers kind of speak for themselves.
And it's crazy. Yeah. As guys, we love, like, yeah, I'm a family man. I take care of my family. You know, I'm a good guy. I protect, and I, you know, I'm honest, and I do this. Yeah. And then when you put the numbers on the board, just like you, your example, a lot of times we're just virtue signaling. We pat ourselves on the back so we feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're honest.
Anybody listening to this, think about that pie chart analogy, okay? And, you know, let's say you give your wife 5% of that pie chart. Let's say 10% of that pie chart. It doesn't matter. It's just, what could you start doing to give 11%, 12%?
Yeah.
Right? Just small incremental changes. That is the essence of the chapter that we're talking about. That is consistency. That is showing up with positive action.
And then you go on, and it looks like you start to you ask a couple of questions. How, you know, I guess because a lot of guys would ask, you know, how can I be consistent? How can I show up? How can I do these things? And one of the questions is, when you were first married, were you motivated to keep the relationship feeling good?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we just have to take a time out and do a little self-reflection and think about that. Think about how did we used to show up? What did the relationship used to look like? You know, if I'm working with a couple, I'll ask them that. You know, they come into my office, they're in a really bad place, and
I'm still here.
Oh, you're still there. Okay, I didn't know if I lost you. They're in a really bad place, and I'll say, tell me about the relationship when it was really good. What did it feel like? What did it look like? What did you guys do together? And they say, oh, you know, we used to, you know, we're both into jogging, and you know, we used to go running together all the time, and I'll say, oh, that sounds like a lot of fun, you know? And then, well, we just stopped doing that. Oh yeah, why? I don't know. We just stopped doing it. right? So sometimes we just have to go back and recall and say, what did it used to look like?
Yeah.
Because if we can recall how it was in the beginning, that's what drew us together. That's what bonded us. And so sometimes we just have to go back and start living that way again to rekindle some of those feelings.
Let's see. Yeah, sorry about that. I had a little technical difficulty.
No, it's all good. You're all good.
Yeah.
So I just saw the screen go dark and I was like, uh-oh, I wonder if I lost it.
No. Actually, like I told you, I use my phone as a camera. So someone was calling and it froze everything up. So another great little example you gave is many men will wrongly believe that being income providers is the primary way of showing up in marriage. And we talked a little bit about that only because it's so relevant and it's a prevalent mindset. And it's a question that we need to ask ourselves if that's our primary role. And I think it's and even just reflecting on it and to have that mentality is a very sobering mindset. Is that all you're worth? Is that all you see yourself as? And that's a very important question to ask, because I think if we're honest with ourselves and we ask, I mean, is that really all I am? Do I just bring? Go ahead.
No, I love the way you're spinning it. Okay, because I love the way you're asking the guy to think about that for themselves. Because a lot of guys take pride in that. You know, why does she have all these complaints? Look at all the, you know, look at the house that I let her live in and the car and all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, and they take a great pride in that. And I get it. And it's okay to feel pride about that. That's not a bad thing. But the question you're asking is really great, Mike. It's like, but you're more than that, right? Don't you want to feel like you're more than that? So we don't want to put all our eggs in that basket. Yeah, we can feel good about that, but we want to feel like we offer a lot more than that, right?
Yeah, and that lends itself to a next question, which a lot of guys feel stuck in, is that their identity, who they are, is wrapped up in their occupation. And a lot of times what happens when they lose that occupation, they lose who they are. And that's why I pose it that way, because it's important to do this kind of work, because let's say tomorrow you get fired. Who are you then?
Exactly. Exactly. Because if you're not an income provider tomorrow because you got fired and that was the only value that you felt like you contributed to your marriage, man, you're in deep waters. Psychologically, you're going to be, and you know, sadly, and I'm not exaggerating, people commit suicide over that.
And I was going to say that a lot of people, like, and I, from personal experience, not myself, but people that I've known, and older people, especially, like they retire or they can't work anymore. They lose who they are because everything was, all their chips were in that one bag. I provide, I work. And they never explored the different dimensions of a man. And I'm dropping it. decided to drop the multi-dimensional man in there.
Yeah. That's right. Because we got to be more than income providers, and we are so much more than income providers.
Yeah.
To our kids, to our spouses, to our friends, to our family. I mean, we have so much to offer. Okay, so we don't want to get concretized in that role, like I'm just the money maker. Because I've worked with a lot of guys too that, you know, after 25 years of being married, that's all they feel. They have a great resentment about it. They're pissed about it.
Yeah.
So we don't want to do that. We don't want to take too much stock in that identity.
Man, that's actually a deep topic that could go into another episode on its own. It's profound because a lot of guys struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
So
right. Mm-hmm.
Towards the end here, we're going to talk about motivation killers, things that chop our feet, our legs off before we even get started. We take one step back and fall to we take one step forward and fall two back. Mm-hmm. So one of the first ones that you wrote that you talk about is lack of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that totally shoots us in the foot is as far as this journey to being that black belt husband.
Yeah, because when we're not in a gratitude mindset, we are in a pessimism mindset, or, you know, instead of seeing the world for what we have, we see it for what we don't have. And when we're in that mindset, we don't want to show up. We're bitter. We're frustrated. All we can see is how wrong she is and how she doesn't do this or doesn't give me this. And she does this thing and she talks to me this way. That's all we see. Okay. And when that's all we see, we don't want to show up. We don't want to show up. We don't want to be consistent. We don't want to show up with positive action and doing the work. So to combat that, we got to develop some gratitude practices. We got to develop a different mindset. We have to start seeing what's good. Okay. Because of course, there's some really good things about your wife. If you focus on the bad things, you're never going to want to show up. So focusing on what's right and what's good will inspire you and motivate you to want to show up. But if you're in that negative mindset and all you see is what's wrong, you're never going to want to show up.
And that's just a rule of thumb or just practical. Who wants to be around someone that's not grateful?
Right.
Or doesn't show that gratitude or appreciation, like just in general, no one wants to be around that guy.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, if I'm always thinking about all the things wrong my wife does, because trust me, she does plenty wrong. Okay. But I could focus on all that, and that's going to rob me of being the version of how I want to show up in the relationship. So we got to focus on the right things. And it doesn't mean we're going to get to this, because chapter 5 and chapter 6 talk about being honest. Okay. Chapter 4, chapter 5. And there's room in a relationship to talk about what's not working and to talk about what you're frustrated about. So there's this isn't just about being a nice guy. Okay. So we're going to get to that. But the point here is that in order for us to be consistent in our relationship and to show up and do the work and to not take the relationship for granted and do those kinds of principles, we have to be in that kind of gratitude mindset.
Yeah. And like Quentin was saying, for you guys out there, I know a lot of this stuff, like, oh, self-work and being humble, they're not aggressive attributes by design. These lay the foundation to get to that part where we can be assertive and take control, because we're going to be in the right posture. Our heart's going to be in the right posture, and we won't be dictators. We won't abuse power. So don't worry, fellas. A lot of these things, they don't resonate with us very well because we like to be aggressive. But if you take your time and do each step, they prepare you to be that king that I always talk about, or that we desire to be. So, which lends itself to the next topic, being impatient.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to say something about that real quick too, just because, you know, remember the book is a metaphor for the jujitsu journey. And before we can be black belts, we got to be white belts, and we got to get our asses kicked. Because when you're a white belt in jujitsu, that's all that happens. You just get your ass kicked. You show up and you get your ass kicked and you get your ass kicked. And that's all that ever happens. And you start to think, what the hell am I doing this for? And then slowly over time, you start getting a little bit better and you start moving on to blue belt and you start kicking other people's asses. Okay. So it's the progression, like everything that we're talking about in white belt, being consistent, being humble, being self-aware. This is kind of like we're getting our asses kicked. It doesn't feel good, but we have to go through this journey to get to the black belt. Okay. It's a very important sequential process.
And it takes a lot of patience. You guys, yeah, patience. And patience requires for you to be consistent, to constantly, you know, to constantly show up with that patience and understanding. And you're not going to, and like you were talking about black belt husband, you're a white belt. You're not just going to go train one day and all of a sudden you're going to get your black belt. That's unrealistic.
Right. There isn't a 3-day seminar that you can do to get it all taken care of. You know, and the impatience part too, what I'm saying there too, is that, you know, what happens with a lot of guys is that they might try some of this consistency stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, it's not working. And then they give up. Okay. So we want to think about, you know, you're in this for the long haul. This is a marathon. Okay. It's not a sprint. And we just want to develop good rituals, good habits. So we are consistent And if it doesn't get reciprocated or if it doesn't have an immediate positive outcome, that's okay. So we're not going to get impatient in that way. We're going to keep moving forward. You know, it's like, if I go to jiu-jitsu and I get my ass kicked, well, if I'm impatient, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to quit. Okay. And I'm not going to quit. So I'm going to keep showing up and I'm going to keep showing up. And I realize it's a long journey. I'm playing the long game, not the short game. I'm not looking for immediate gratification. This is the long game. So we're trying to kind of get into that mindset too.
Yeah. Because like you wrote, consistency is the necessary oxygen for the marriage. Consistency is necessary for almost anything worth anything to us. If we treasure something and we appreciate something, working on it consistently, showing up every day, even when we don't want to show up, even when our wife gives us a bad attitude, being consistent and applying the things that we learned before and the things that we talked about today is necessary for the next steps that are going to come. So don't get impatient, guys. Hang in there. And I know these conversations that we're having are dense. There's a lot of stuff that we go through the weeds of life that, you know, through the perspective of a man, the things we like and don't like. But take your time, be consistent, do the work, and we will get there eventually.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Just do the work, do your part. That's all I can ask anybody listening to this. Just do your part. Okay, just do your part and see what is possible and see what can happen. Okay, all we got to do is do our part. And maybe a good way to kind of just encapsulate this conversation, Michael, is something that I talked about in the book, and it's consistency is seeing your marriage as a verb and not a noun. So verb indicates action. So think about marriage. Your marriage is a word that indicates action. It's not a thing. It's not a noun. It's not a static place in time or a static agreement between you and your wife. Marriage is a verb, which means that it is indicating a need for positive action. Okay, and if we can get into that place, man, you're gonna have your marriage is gonna be on fire, on fire.
And that's what we're shooting for. And this is why I'm excited to do these conversations, breaking down each chapter. And next conversation, which is the next topic that we're going to be touching?
We're going to go to honesty.
So that's another deep one, and one that we get a little intimidated by, but we will jump into it. But thank you so much, Quentin, for joining us on this episode, talking about consistency. And we appreciate you. Any last words you want to throw in there before we close up?
Man, I think we've covered it. I'm kind of long-winded. I think we've covered it all. So good chatting with you too, Mike. I hope whoever listens to this gets some value.
I'm sure they will when we're talking next time.